Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second ever WizWit Hockey Podcast. Today, we're going to look at the Flyers offseason. We're going to see how we would like them to do it, everything like that. But as always, I am your host, Drew, and I'm a legend in my own mind. And joined with me, we have our my co-host, Devin.
Hi, I'm Devin from ESPN. I'm just kidding, yeah.
And we have Kush. Kush,
hit me.
It you. How we doing, Kush?
Work.
I hear that. So, boys, since the last time we were here, some things have happened in the NHL. I don't know if you've heard, but the Eagles won the Super Bowl? That happened a while ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that happened.
The Eagles did win the Super Bowl, and I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because they just got their rings, and they look gorgeous.
They do.
I bought one for $11,000.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was thinking about buying a house, but I'm like, fuck it.
Fuck it. Super Bowl ring. But no, in the NHL, guys, I don't know if you know, the Capitals won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, actually, honestly.
Well, no. Now, here's the thing. I'm happy for two guys on that team. Because Barry Trotz is the other one, but Alexander Ovechkin being the first, most important one. Everybody else can go fuck themselves.
As a Flyers fan, I don't like a lot of the Capitals players as a fan, but yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, as far as the city is concerned, how they reacted and like all the celebration, it was basically what happened was I watched that Stanley Cup, and then an hour later, I found myself on YouTube watching Eagles highlights and all the celebration things. It just brought me right back.
Yeah, I could see. I love the emotion that Ovechkin showed throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
I think once he got in, there was no way he was losing.
Once they beat Pittsburgh, it was...
Yeah.
Nothing to shake a fist at, but Vegas, I mean, they dominated every series except for that last one. And that last series... If that would have went 7, probably would have been the greatest series of all time.
I will say Ovechkin did save me some money, because I said if Vegas won, I was going to buy a hat.
He saved you $30.
Uh-huh.
This might be like a – this probably qualifies as a hot take, mm-hmm. but the finals made me think that Vegas is going to be bad next year.
I've been hearing a lot of people say
because that was the first time all year they looked like an expansion team.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, oh man, are they gonna do some stupid stuff over the summer because they think like they're a cup contender? And I don't think they are. And I think they're gonna be they should be a playoff team next year. But like, I would not be surprised if they missed.
Was it them looking like an expansion team, or did the Capitals just want it much more?
Because
I feel like it was the
whole year
wanting it that much more.
There was a point that somebody I saw on Twitter bring up like a while ago, like before they went into the playoffs, that said that like Vegas had deeper depth, but when you make it to the playoffs and you start doing top line versus top line for like most of the game, and you have your top players out there for like 20, 30 minutes a game, they were gonna get wrecked because they have the depth, but they just don't have the high end superstars. I think that's what happened in the finals.
I think that their biggest weakness with that would have been defensively, because I mean, what the Capitals have John Carlson, who could put 30 minutes in a game in the playoffs. Knights had Derek Englund.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I thought it would have happened in the second and third rounds, though. They were just shocking me.
They rolled over everybody.
I understand
in the West
how this is happening, but like. Yeah.
I think it was just their depth, honestly, and that's what did it. They
and
were just
Fleury.
A deeper team. And Fleury played out of his mind. Yeah.
Even though like he gave up like the most goals of any series in the of their series in the Stanley Cup Finals, he still played phenomenally.
I mean, that could have been what happened, too. It could have just been in the finals, Fleury was human again and...
Was tired.
Yeah, like suddenly Vegas didn't look that great.
Yeah.
Or it could have been the Capitals just were that good and... I still think the Capitals were that good.
Most of the Vegas series were pretty low scoring. I mean, there was a couple games that ended 6-4.
Round one was against the Kings, the Kings didn't even score, didn't like.
That was a surprisingly good series, even though I just think because Vegas was in it for the first time and they swept the Kings. But like for such a low scoring series, I don't know. I had fun watching that.
The Vegas never went more than 6 games. They swept the Kings. They went 6 games against the Sharks, won 4-2, went 5 against the Jets, and then
I can't believe they beat the Jets.
I can't believe they dominated the Jets.
Because the Jets were good, man.
Well, wait, didn't they took them to 5 or 6?
5.
5, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch most of that series.
Yeah, well, the West Coast series will do that to you. Living on the East. Whereas Washington went 6-6, 7-5.
Well, that's what I wanted to say, is like, Washington has been by far the best team over like the last 5 years. Like, they've been a better team than Pittsburgh, arguably. They just couldn't win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, as far as
the fact that
season.
They made an expansion team look like an expansion team shouldn't be that surprising, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Well, at any less, congrats to the Capitals. Fuck you guys, you know.
Oh, Ovechkin lifting the cup for the first time. We're going to see that for the rest of our lives. Every Stanley Cup playoffs.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to cut to
the commercial.
It's going to be Bobby Clark with no teeth smiling. That's going to be Ovechkin lifting the cup and just bellowing. And
it's
just roaring.
Bobby Clark, toothless smile. Messier with the shake.
Ray Bork.
After 22 years,
yeah.
Raymond Bork,
you know,
forever etched in history, and Ovechkin. That's it.
The one more thing I want to touch on before we move on, but Joe brought it up today in our group chat about Tom Wilson having. I didn't even notice until I actually looked at his numbers, and he actually had a surprisingly great playoff series, which kind of makes me pissed off.
Well, he is a first round pick.
Yeah,
he is a scumbag. But, like, physically, like, his face, he doesn't look like a scumbag. Like, if you walked up to him on the street, you'd go, that guy's a nice-looking guy. However,
so
put ice skates on him, and he's a dick.
So I have this internal debate with myself all the time. As a hockey fan, I'm kind of like a Neanderthal, and I'm just ruthless. Like, there's a part of me that loves, like, dirty hockey. But then, like, as a human being, I like snap like, oh no, this is bad. Like you can't root for this.
You can't hit somebody in the head.
I love making fun of Tom Wilson and like calling him a garbage can and all that stuff. But like, there's a part of me that like he's like the last player of like the last player of an era. Really, like he's the only guy that plays. Like he's the only guy that's trying to hit people like open ice still.
Yeah,
I mean, no one else does it because they know if they actually succeed, that it's probably going to be a suspendable hit.
I mean, besides Radko Gudas, but he doesn't do it intentionally.
Well, Radko, like, not to get, like, distracted, but, like, after, like, you could see, like, when Radko Gudas gets suspended and he comes back, you know, it's like a monthly occurrence.
He steps back.
Yeah, and then he's really ineffective. It's like, all of a sudden, like, he's like, he has to play like that in order to be good. But the problem is he's gonna get someone in the head and get suspended. It's like, he can't help himself.
Yeah.
I think he's what Tom Wilson would be if, like, Tom Wilson didn't always play borderline. Like, Gudas will play borderline, get suspended, and then back off. Tom Wilson will just keep going. Because he knows that if he stops, like, his career, I guess, will turn into Radko Gudas' career.
Gudas
hasn't had a bad career, but this year he had a bad season because he got suspended, for, like, 8 games or something like that?
Yeah. Well, and then he two-handed a guy in the neck, right?
Yeah. Not intentionally, but he did it.
I still give him the benefit of the doubt.
Think he did it on purpose, but he still two-handed the guy like in the face.
All right, we should probably move on before we go down the rabbit hole of Radko Gudas.
So there's this other thing, and today we're recording it on June 19th. Something else happened today in the NHL. Well, that's kind of been happening for the past, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 days. The Ottawa Senators are just imploding the top down.
Dude. Makes me feel really good about the Flyers.
There's been accusations of cyberbullying. There's been accusations of what was the one with the assistant GM today?
Oh yeah, it's something about child abuse. I remember seeing the article a couple days ago.
Yeah, I didn't read into that one. That one,
but
I
he's suspended by I think the team suspended him until I guess they find out more information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I mean, their GM's having, you know, no problem in blowing up the team.
Well, they kind of have no choice.
Well, dude, the cyberbullying is probably like too nice of a term. Like,
yeah,
if it's true, like that, it, like
It's pretty fucked up.
What Hoffman's fiance was saying to the Carlsons is just like, I can't imagine saying that about anybody, really. Like, it's just like brutal.
Yeah.
And then apparently, I didn't actually see it, but I was listening to something else and I heard it, but a bunch of wives from like past and current Ottawa senators basically were like, yep, yeah, she definitely did it. Like, she's crazy.
Yeah, no, there was a couple tweets that were sent out. One of them was, I think, Andrew Hammond, that goaltender,
yeah,
the Hamburglar.
Yeah.
One of it was his wife that, or girlfriend or whatever, that said that, yeah, if you, like, that's only, like, part of it, like, the stuff that was on social media. She said there was, like, more to it, that if that would have got released to the media, it would have just been 10 times worse.
Like, could you imagine if, like, you were just, like, trying to, like, put this into normal people terms, like your coworker,
yeah,
their significant other is wishing your child death. Like, what? Like, it's insane.
It's amazing, like, what goes on behind the scenes, and now thankfully technology and social media gets all this out, and everybody just, it ruins so much of what's good in the NHL and any sport, to be honest with you. But it also has to come out. But, like, how – if you're the Sharks, obviously they traded him. Okay, so if you're the Panthers, how do you want Mike Hoffman on the team knowing what the baggage comes along with it? It's the same thing with Kaepernick.
I guess they got him for cheap, but, like
– I mean, they gave up 3 picks. I mean, I think there's, like, a 5th and a 4th round in there. So they basically gave up, like, a second round pick.
Yeah, you're right. The San Jose got him for cheap, but I think – yeah, I guess Florida did give up. I guess – I don't know.
Yeah, I guess because San Jose was never going to keep him. They basically were like, all right. So basically what I think happened was there was reports that Ottawa was trying to trade him before the news broke, and they were dropping the price, and teams were like, wait, why are you dropping the price? So no one bit on it, and then the news broke. So then all the other GMs were kind of like, I guess, would be pissed off because they're, you know, operating. Yeah. They're basically trying to screw everyone over. So now Ottawa has to trade him, that this story's out. There's no way they can keep him. So then San Jose steps in, rips him off, and then trades
Florida.
I thought it was funny
that they were able to rip him off that good, and especially because Dorian wouldn't trade with in the division. So San Jose is like, fuck it, like, we'll do it for you.
San Jose got Mike Hoffman, Cody Donahue, 2025th from Ottawa for Mikkel Boedker. Or Michael Boedker, I don't know. Defenseman Julius Bergman and a 2026 round pick. And then they sent Hoffman to Florida with a 7th round pick, and then got a 2019 second round pick, a 2018 4th, and a 2018 5th in return for that. So basically, for dumping cap with Boedker, getting Hoffman, as, like, just being a proxy essentially to get him to Florida, they make out like crazy, because the NHL hasn't announced the cap ceiling yet, so there's still plenty of room. So and they got to re-sign some people. They have a lot coming to them.
Yeah, who? The
Sharks.
Yeah, oh, I know. Well, when they first got Hoffman, I was excited because then it didn't seem like Thornton was going to go back.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, maybe, like, you know, Hextall's looking for a veteran presence. We could sign Thornton for 1 year, like – yeah, he's old, but it'd be 1 year and he's fun. Like, the Flyers aren't doing anything next season.
Well, before the trades, San Jose had $7.5 million in cap space, and they didn't really have a lot of picks this year. So now they've upped their picks. They've got the cap space now because they have to re-sign.
They'll probably re-sign
Hurdle, unless Tierney, and DeMello are RFAs, and then UFAs are Thornton, Joel Ward, and Eric Fair. Joel Ward and Eric Fair aren't going to be back most likely, but now they have an opportunity to re-sign Joe Thornton, who I'm sure wants to stay in San Jose.
Yeah, he said that I read somewhere on Twitter today that I'm pretty sure he just wants to stay in San Jose. So
yeah, I mean, it's a good fit for him. They're a fringe team, the fringe Stanley Cup contender team, and you never know what could happen. And if Thornton doesn't come to them, now there's rumors that they could go after Tavares, they can go after Paul Stastny. There's plenty of room for that.
I think they should wait to sign Thornton and, like, try to get Tavares first. I mean, he's John Tavares.
The thing about Tavares is if he's going to be traded, he's going to be traded on Friday at the draft.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But even if he's not traded, that doesn't mean he won't walk. Now, it's unlikely that he'll walk because that's just how superstars are in the NHL. They just like to stay with their teams that drafted them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm holding out hope that he'll leave New York.
Yeah, we'll see.
Definitely not coming to the Flyers. But
now, how long do you think Ottawa has as an organization at this rate? Like, what, 3 years? And they're going to move to, like, Montreal? Or not Montreal, Quebec City?
I don't know, because I feel like Gary Bettman would try to, like, step in and save it before that he relocated it.
It's a good hockey market. I mean,
they're trying to get, like, an arena. Apparently the arena is in the middle of nowhere, right? Like,
yeah, it's in a weird spot, and, you know, I wouldn't go watch a team that's literally falling apart right before my eyes. So
from the top to the bottom, it's
even insane. The year that they made the Eastern Conference Final, it was like literally, it just, what was it, Carlson and Anderson like carried them that way. Like, you could
they
tell,
weren't supposed to be good. They were like to be like
they were just
last.
Getting carried.
Yeah,
I think everyone had them missing the playoffs, and then it was like a surprise feel good story.
So like this year, like, it was no shock that they missed the playoffs terribly.
Right.
And I saw a tweet and it had like the Ottawa Senators roster from Game 7 versus Pittsburgh, and it was like half of them are gone.
Yeah. So, it's a tough time in Ottawa, but wish them the best, and we'll move on. So the big thing is we got the off season starting up. Friday the 22nd we got the draft and the re-sign phase, and I believe free agency was still open July 1st. I believe that's still usually when it starts up. So big one for the Flyers, big one in particular for Ron Hextall. He's already stated he's going to go after centers,
third line centers though. So
correct. So what do you guys hope to see Hextall do in this offseason? Because there's kind of a couple different ways he can go. He can go really just straight down the middle and just take draft picks he has, picks what he wants, probably re-sign Filppula, unfortunately.
So there's two different versions of what I hope to see Hextall do. There's the not-going-to-happen-in-any-universe version where he signs Tavares, maybe makes a run at Thornton, like actually, you know, tries to make the team better significantly next year. And then there's the reality version where he's probably, you know, best case scenario, he goes after like Paul Stastny to fill the third line center. And then maybe get like a decent veteran defenseman on like, or, you know, just a good defenseman on a cheap deal.
Yeah. What I would love is for just like Ron Hextall to go balls out and just try to sign either Tavares or Carlson, like just make it work. But like, he's not going to do that. He's patient, which is good because I'm not, and I would be like a Flyers GM of old and totally tank the team, try to get in for 1 year. But I don't know, realistically, I hope he just signs. I want him to bring in some like veteran depth that's actually good, like not Dale Weiss or something, but like, you know, if he gets like a Grabner or just some like cheap guys who can like play penalty kill minutes and just
the big thing is too, I don't want anybody over like 2 years on a deal. I don't want a 4 year Dale Weiss deal.
No, exactly. And like the Flyers penalty kill last year was so bad. Like if it was just average, the Flyers, like, just think about how many more goals they would like have.
Yeah. And it's
not have given up.
I don't think the problem with the Flyers penalty kill is personnel. I think it's the system, and that comes down to coaching.
I think it's a little bit personnel.
Yeah.
Laterra was on it a lot.
Yeah, but Laterra isn't a bad penalty killer, though. He's not.
No, he is, because you think he's isn't because, like, he's just a big, slow guy. He should be able to be good in the penalty kill, but you actually need to be fast on the penalty kill. You are down a guy. So, like, you know, especially the penalty kill the Flyers try to use, which I think it's called like the check press or something. You have the high forward just attacking. And then
Still think it comes down to coaching more than anything, because the right coach
definitely
will put Laterra out there even if he's on the team.
And also, their penalty kill coach isn't good, even though
even if we had the personnel, it wouldn't be – I don't think it would be substantially better.
No.
I think it comes down to coaching at this point.
It comes down to coaching for the penalty kill. Go ahead.
But we could
my point was, if you could replace the veteran depth forwards, which last season were Filppula and Laterra and Weiss and Matt Reed, like in a platoon, not all four of them at once usually, but – if you could replace those two roster spots with two better veterans that you get off free agency and then bring up, you know, if Frost makes a team or something, you know.
I don't think Frost – I think Frost is going to play in the NHL next year.
I was just using him as an example. Yeah. First name that came to mind. But, like, yeah. You know.
There's definitely a lot of youth that's, like, borderline but probably needs some time in the AHL.
I think someone makes it.
Yeah.
I think Lindblom's going to be
– No, he's already on the team.
Yeah, he'll be on the team. I think Sanheim at this point – I mean, he's got to be on the team next year, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I know Morin's injured, so he's not starting the year, but – who knows what will happen with him.
Sanheim, Lindblom are – they should be roster locks. They should be considered second-year players. Yeah. Like,
it's going to be – what I would like to see Hextall do is be somewhat aggressive in the draft. And by that, I mean trade up to get a player. You know, you don't have to trade both picks. Just do something other than just accepting the 14th and 19th. Because what's going to happen is if he doesn't, then he's going to go after a guy like Stastny, and I don't want him to go after a guy like Stastny. And if he can't get Stastny, that means we're going to get Filppula back. I honestly believe that's where his mindset is going.
Yeah, that's what scares me the most, is that if we don't get anybody from free agency, we're just going to go back to Filppula.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I don't really want him to trade up. Like, I either want him to make the picks or trade a pick for an actual player.
Yeah. It's like somebody who can fill that third line.
That can come in now. Like, if there's no one in free, if Paul Stastny is free agency and, like, you don't want him, trade one of your first round picks for a guy on another team that can step in and be your third C.
Yeah. See, I'm trying not to say too much because what I want Hextall to do is coming up in our later segment. So,
well, this is our opinion.
I need
if
you
end up saying the same thing as us, that just means you're as smart as us.
Well, true. We'll find out. In a little bit.
Not, though.
Most likely not. but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. It's definitely the most important because what he does on Friday, forget about on July 1st, what he does on Friday is going to determine whether he thinks we can compete this year or if he's just going to keep with the rebuild and keep.
I don't think he thinks that we can compete this year. I don't even know if we'll think that we can compete in 2 years. I think he wants to keep the team and – well, he definitely wants to keep the team competitive. He said that. But I think he's trying to just build, like, a culture that wins. Not necessarily
competing.
When
you say compete, you mean not compete for the cup.
Not compete for the cup. Be a playoff contender.
I thought you meant, like, cup contender. Okay, no, yeah. No, he wants to be competitive, no.
Yeah.
He wants the team to be competitive, absolutely. No, but I don't think he's going to make moves to make them a cup contender for, if we're lucky,
5 years.
Years.
Five years. 5 years. This one will be a cup contender.
I honestly don't think.
But it's 5 years every year, so.
I mean, I've always felt that this summer was the summer that Hextall was going to go for it. And, I mean, either this summer or next summer. Like, I don't think he's – I think it depends, like, what he can do, like, what's available or what trades are. Like, we have zero clue what possible trades
and
are out there. We just don't know.
Like, everybody, like, you know, wants to get, like, better players in our, you know, bottom sixes and our bottom four defensemen. But, like, what if just happens next year if, like, Sanheim comes up and he's just, like, a beast and then we just have him? And then same thing
exactly.
Same thing with all of our prospects. Like, what if, like, Mike Vecchione comes up and he makes a decent 4C or 3C?
Yeah, Ivan Provorov could take another step forward and actually
be
like
a Norris
candidate. Like,
which
I
feel like he's going to be.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the Flyers could end up being a lot better next year with the exact same personnel.
Yeah.
Just be, like, Konechny gets better. Like, you know, Ghost stays the same or
as
gets
long
better.
As Couturier and Konechny don't regress and either stay the same or progress progress. I think we'll be fine with the top line. Second line will be good. You can, like, there's interesting things. It depends on how, like, what third line center we get, because if it's Filppula or even Paul Stastny, I don't think we do much, to be honest with you.
So that's Paul Stastny.
I said Paul Stastny.
I like Paul Stastny though.
He is pretty snazzy.
Rumblings today. Ooh. That Wayne Simmons was being – there's some Wayne Simmons rumors floating around.
I think there's going to be Wayne Simmons rumors all the way up. I tell you what.
Until the trade deadline.
Yeah, no. If Wayne Simmons is going to go, it's going to go at the deadline, and it's only if the Flyers don't have a chance.
Can we talk about how you feel about that?
How I feel about Simmons?
Yeah, because I have two feelings about
So, I honestly don't think we'll have Simmons going in the next offseason unless the Flyers are almost locked into the playoffs by the deadline, because he's got 1 year left. It's like 3.98 mil he's getting paid this year. He's going to get a contract next year, and it's going to be a large one. 4 or 5 year deal, 5.5 plus per year easily.
Yeah. What was TJ Oshie's deal?
More deal. A lot.
It was like $7 million a year.
Maybe no, that was Stastny.
I think it was $6 million.
It was $6 million a year,
5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and Stastny had the $7 million here, which was just ridiculous.
Is that what he's getting paid now?
Evander Kane just got a crap ton of money too.
Yeah.
Oh wait, he's a free agent.
Yeah. TJ Oshie's a free agent. Stastny's the free agent.
So I love Wayne Simmons. He's probably my favorite Flyer.
Yeah.
He's just awesome. Like, there's probably, like, 3 or 4 guys on the team that, like, I just love, like, their personality, I feel like, fits with the team. It's, like, Simmons, Konechny, Voracek. Like, they're just feisty guys. And it'll make me really, 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 really heartbroken to see him go. But logically, if I was the GM, I'm probably trading him at the draft or the deadline.
Yeah.
You're gonna resign him for so he's gonna get overpaid. Like, he's gonna get money.
Yeah,
he's a guy that teams love, and he's just not gonna be worth the money.
You could easily fleece a Canadian GM with Wayne Simmons.
The Toronto.
About Wayne Simmons,
he's a Toronto native.
Is he's going to make money? He's going to be good in any system for the most part. He's lovable. He's great. He's a great locker room guy. But he's easier to trade.
See, he's a good veteran presence.
Yeah.
Like, he's a veteran presence that, like, he's actually good.
Yeah. And, like, he was playing at, like, 50% all year last year and still managed to get, like, over 20 goals.
Yeah, I mean, he's 29. Yeah. He turns 30 on August 26th. So
I think if you get the most value for him, you might. See, I don't know. You probably wait if you wait to the trade deadline.
Yeah,
you'll get more for him at the deadline. And the only way you would trade him at the draft is if you're getting a Jonathan Tavares.
Dougie Hamilton. Remember, he's coming off one of his worst seasons because he was playing injured.
But he was
If you trade him at the deadline, he's a playoff rental. Whereas if you trade him at the draft, you're giving a team a whole year. So I'm not sure which situation you get the most for.
You get the most out of the deadline.
GMs are weird at the draft.
You get the most out of the deadline.
Yeah, because people are trying to, like, throw stuff on their team to hope it works.
Right.
And I think that's a piece that you can easily be like, yo, he's a feisty guy.
Unless he gets injured in November and is done for the season.
Yeah.
that's always a risk that has to be taken. But at the same time, you can't not – like, if the Flyers go into the regular season without Wayne Simmons on the roster, I will be just surprised. If on Friday he gets traded, I don't care who we get in return, I'm going to be sad.
Oh, I'm going to be sad. Yeah. Like, I don't want to see him go. Same. He's one of my favorite players. Like, probably – he's probably going to be one of my –
it'd be
top 10 forever. Like,
it'd be tough seeing him in another jersey, but – I mean, he might even make it through all of next season, and then Hextall has to let him walk.
I can see Hextall re-signing him.
Well, it depends. Like,
it depends on where you see the roster.
If you give me Wayne Simmons on, like, a 4-year deal, this would probably be an overpayment, but, like, well, how much does he make now?
Like, four.
Four something?
He's Simmons? A steal right now.
Simmons is 3.975.
Yeah, jeez.
If you give me Wayne, and this is probably unrealistic, but if you give me him at 4 years for, like, and this, the amount might be a little high, but, like, 5.5 to 6, I would consider it.
Yeah, I would.
But it's the term that's
because,
like,
yeah, 4 years.
To remember, he's 29. He'll be 30 in August. The big thing you have to remember, though, for the Flyers heading in the next offseason, you have to pay Ivan Provorov.
Yeah. But the but you won't have Laterra. So like you
true,
just
you'll
give
have
four you give Laterra's money to Wayne Simmons.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's they could they don't have cap problems. Like they're gonna be fine.
No,
like
right
they're not gonna
now,
go out there and sign a John Tavares. So
and the cap's gonna go up a couple million.
Right, right now.
We've been so
room.
Conditioned to be
million.
Like, oh my gosh, we're pressed against the cap. We haven't been pressed against the cap for 2 years. So like,
no. Thanks to
there's
Ron
room.
Hextall.
You can re-sign guys. You could give Wayne Simmons a raise, re-sign Provorov, sign, and then you know by then you're gonna let other high paying forwards go. So,
but see, I think Wayne's. I mean, unless. I mean,
McDonald's
I doubt
coming
he
off
would,
the books.
I doubt he would, like, you know, accept something for 4 years because Oshie got what did he get again? 6 or 7 years or something?
He would have to take a he would be taking a hometown discount because Winston is going to probably get 6.5.
Yeah,
yeah, and he could probably
for
get a longer
years.
Term. Like he could probably like a 6 year deal, like TJ Oshie, somebody you'd be wanting to add to a cup contending team who you know can
Vegas.
Contend now and then won't mind taking the extra hit.
Vegas
when
will give
he's
him 12 million. 2 years.
That's how they're gonna do it. That's how they're gonna win their cup.
I mean, they have the cap space to do something like that. They can go out there and just give a guy instead of signing him for 4 years, four times six, they can do 2 times 12.
Yeah. Well, Vegas has 26 million in cap, 26.5 million.
Not
they also have to sign.
Not that they would actually
deal
with Simmons,
Carlson. They have to sign a lot.
But yeah, they could overpay a free agent for like a year or two. I mean, listen, I do that in NHL 18 all the time. You just give a guy, you know, $10 million for a year.
Well, that's what
you
the Sharks kind of did.
Just accepts it, and then you're fine. It's not going to hurt you long term.
That's kind of what the Sharks did with Thornton. Like he probably wasn't worth $8 million last year, but like
what else
a
they
year
do with
they
money?
Had the space. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If you don't use your cap space, you don't use your cap space. It goes away, so you might as well.
Yeah,
it's never the dollar amount that hurts teams. It's the term. If we had Andrew McDonald for $5 million for 3 years, we wouldn't be talking about him anymore. He'd be gone. He'd 2 years be gone. You know, like it's the term. It's giving Dale Weiss 4 years at $2.5 million. Like, oh yeah, it's a low number, but now you have him for 2 more years.
And that's why I've liked Ron Hextall signings. Like he gave Couturier what like a
great contract.
Couturier
wasn't a long
1, 2, 3, 4 years left. 4.3
great, like Ghost.
Yeah, and same thing with Ghost. Yeah. He only got like a
four and a half, five
year deal.
And he's got 5 years left, so
he must be really convincing.
He's got that face, you know. Plus, if you know Ron Hextall, I mean,
he probably just shows a highlight clip of himself playing
of himself, like killing Chelios and that kind of stuff. Yeah, because Chris Chelios was like the toughest of tough guys.
Yeah, but like, he deserved it. He killed Prop.
True, he did kill Brian Propp. Yeah, anyway. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. All right,
Drew, tell us what you would do.
If I went out, so here's where we're moving into the armchair GM. So I set some rules for myself. Work with the current cap. Don't expect any cap raise. That's been. I mean, it's going to happen, but whatever. Work with what you have. I'm only doing the first round of the draft because everything else is fucking ridiculous. Trying to figure out anything after pick 31 is ridiculous. Trying to figure out anything after pick 3 is ridiculous.
Drew, I want your 7th round draft prediction.
Okay, it's going to be me. I'm going to get drafted in the 7th round, and I'm going to lead this team to a cup. You watch.
While you do that, I'm going to computer generate some names for the 6th round.
Okay, good. And then what was the other bit? Oh, and then in terms of like my re-signing and signing stuff, what I'm saying is the max I would give them, but we're just going to assume the max just because whatever. So we start with draft day because that's where everything begins. And we start with the first round picks. We have the 14th and the 19th. First 14th pick, I'm trading. I'm trading it up. I'm going to go up to Vancouver at 7. I'm going to trade away the 14th overall pick. A second round pick in 2019, a fourth round pick in this year's draft, Michael Nwaeverth and Felipe Myers.
Damn, you're going
whoa.
So listen.
Oh, I don't like this.
I know you don't, but Michael Nwaeverth has 1 year left. You want Leon or Lion? Sorry, I like to call him Leon. I'd rather have Lion than Michael Nwaeverth as the backup to Elliott. Vancouver needs a backup goalie. They need picks because they're rebuilding, and they already are saying that they're interested in trading the 7th overall pick away.
Smart trading it to Vancouver, too, because they probably don't watch any Flyers games.
They have no idea that Nueverth is a papier-mâché man. Okay? So, with the 7th pick, right? This is the second part of it. You got to draft with that 7th pick. If somehow Brady Tkachuk is available, you take Brady Tkachuk. I don't think he's going to be available. I think the best pick for the Flyers at that point, and he's like, again, if you look at any mock drafts, 3 through 31 drastically changes through every single mock draft. Joseph Valeno, he's a center out of Drummondville in the QMJHL. He's 6'1", 195 pounds right now. His best attribute is his hockey IQ and awareness, so he's very good at everything around him. He's in the right spot. Once he got traded to Drummondville midway through the season, he had 48 points in 33 games last year. He's proven to becoming more... less of a pass-first center, which was what he was when he was a little bit younger, and now he's moving to a more well-rounded. I think he's going to be great, and if for some reason Valeno is not on the board, I think you take a left wing, Joel Farabee. I think he's going to be your best bet after that, because he'll definitely be there around 7. And then with the 19th overall pick, I'm trading it. Big surprise.
Oh, wow, there's a shocker.
And today's trades... almost scared me shitless because my trading partner is San Jose. And when I woke up and saw that trade, I was like, oh my God, if this guy's on here, I'm going to lose my shit because I have no backup plan. So we're going to trade away the 19th overall pick, the 5th round pick in this year's draft, the 7th round pick, Mike Vecchione and Jordan Wheel for a 6th round pick and the rights to Tomas Hertl.
The rights to him?
Yes, he's an RFA. But of course, if you're trading for the rights to somebody, you're going to have a deal in place with Tomas Hertl beforehand. So if this is something that's going to happen on draft day, if I'm Hextall, I'm already talking with San Jose for this because you got to get permission to be able to sign Hertl. The only way you do it is if you have a deal in place for Hertl. The deal in place for Hertl is 4 years, $4 million. He's 24. He had 46 points last year. 46 points last year. So I think 4 years, $4 million is probably about right. You probably go up to 4.5, 4.75, like at the extreme for him if you need to get a deal done. Because my thought process is,
did your trade include the 19th pick?
Yes,
and there's other two picks and then Mike Vecchione
and Jordan Wheel.
And Jordan Wheel. See, I don't know if he's worth. I like Tomas Hertl. I just don't know if he's worth all.
The thing
that.
About Tomas Hertl is the reason why you say you don't know if he's worth, because he's been hurt a little bit. He's got that little bit of knee issue, but when he's been healthy, he's been phenomenal.
How much did you want to sign him for?
4 years, $4 million.
And what were you going to give him for him? A first round pick.
First round pick. Fifth, seventh. Vecchione, Wheel. And you get a 6th back.
Do you know if you just qualified him with like you just offer sheeted him because he'd probably be available?
The other thing is
4.5, you would just have to give up a first and a third round draft pick.
Right, but what you also have to see is that most likely San Jose, if they're not going to trade him, is just going to sign him. So to be able to get him, you have to give up more for him. And Vecchione and Wheel are guys who could possibly make their roster. And that gives – you have to think of it. It's not just beneficial to us. And I know I'm giving up a lot for him, but you also have to make it worth San Jose. And San Jose is a Stanley Cup contender, so you need to give them something good for a center that is going to be second or third line on their team. If they don't get Thornton back, and then it leaves them with plenty of cap space to go after Tavares or Stastny or Thornton or two of the three.
I guess if it opens up cap space, but, like, I think they really like Hertl, and I don't know, like, vice versa. I don't know if it's, like I said, I don't know if it's worth it for the Flyers to give up all that much, but I also don't think it might be worth it for San Jose, who would have to replace his point production when they're trying to contend for a cup, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but if, like
I'll
I said...
I'll take Wheel.
If they're gonna go after Tavares, which after today means... it looks like they're going to go after Tavares and Stastny, or Tavares and Thornton, or Thornton.
Well, Tavares could be their wonder,
right?
Tavares could be their number one priority, but I think they have the money, right?
Listen,
now. Have right now, as it stands,
$11 million,
11.5.
Yeah,
plus the cap ceiling is going to go up, and their re-signings are only if you forget Hurdle because he's involved in my trade, Chris Tierney, Jared DeMello, they're going to make $1.5-2 million. Joe Thornton, if they get him back, Joel Ward and Eric Fair. Joel Ward and Eric Fair aren't coming back. You give them youth with Vecchione and Wheel to replace them.
Going to ask you a question.
Yes.
We don't have to get too into this, but how many days in the free agency does John Tavares sign with any team? Whatever team he chooses. Is it day one, day five, day seven?
If he gets traded on Friday, he gets signed day one.
Okay, let's just say he makes it to free agency. He's not traded. He just waits it out. And July 1st. So
now,
2 days.
2 days. I honestly think he'll have a deal almost
in
place.
Yeah, I think he'll sign pretty quick with if he makes
because
it to free agency.
What'll,
okay.
what'll happen
because
if,
I was going to say is July 1st. Yeah, you get a few days before July 1st to strike a deal. So July 1st, you have a deal agreed with Thomas Hurdle for $4.5 million, and the Sharks are trying to get Tavares. They have to make a decision because they can't do both. They can't sign Hurdle and get Tavares. Like, they just don't have the cap space. They're going to have to give – Tavares is going to get $8 to $10 million, right? Like he's
– Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
he might even get more than that.
He probably should. He's really good, but –
They'll probably have like 14.5 to 15.5, depending on how much they raise.
Can we go back to your first trade?
Yeah.
Can you say that again? What you're going to trade for the
14th
pick?
For the 7th pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in return. I'm going to trade the 14th pick, Nuevirth, Felipe Myers, a 4th round in 2018.
What do you have against Felipe Myers?
I have nothing against him.
Do you know he's?
Wait. Whoa,
do you know he's 6 point? He's 6'5" and he's a right hand shot.
Yeah.
Whoa, we're trading Myers?
Yes.
I don't think – I guess this is what you would do, but that would never happen.
So,
yeah, like,
so
that would
– The thing about
there's a lot of
is Brady Tkachuk could be there.
Yeah, but
and that in
who's
itself
he?
Is – what do you mean who's he?
Who is he, Drew?
He's like one of the best left-wing centers in the draft right now.
Left-handed centers?
Wait,
no, left-wing and center. So, like
so he's a winger, so he's not a center.
Oh, he does both.
Well, he did both in
junior.
Yeah,
but that means he's a winger.
That means he's going to be a winger in the NHL. And he's a 100% unknown. How many games have you seen him play, Drew?
Okay, I haven't seen him play.
Exactly.
But in my research that I have done, he's going to be a
How much research have you done on Felipe Myers?
I've watched him play.
And?
I just don't think.
And I like him, but I think he's not ever going to play on the pro club.
Oh,
in Philadelphia.
Are you serious? Because everyone was really impressed with him last year. He's a
I'm really
shot.
Impressed with him.
A lot of people think he's going to replace Gudas.
I don't think he's going to replace Gudas. I think Gudas we're going to replace Gudas in free agency. Not this year.
Like
but...
Gudas, the veteran defenseman, or Gudas, the right-hand shot defenseman? Because Myers is a right-hand shot. It's important.
You can probably do both next free agency.
Because right-hand shot defenseman is like one of the most sought-after positions.
Gudas.
See, but going after people in free agency aren't guarantees. Like, Philip Myers is somebody that you have in your system who, from what I hear, is very good. And he has a chance to become a top-four defenseman
in
the
NHL.
I
don't see Felipe Myers being a top-four defenseman. He's
Drew,
a
when this
defenseman.
Podcast is over, I'm going to have to educate you on Felipe Myers.
Bro,
for
I've
about
watched
the
him
next
play. I know
weeks.
How – listen, this is my segment. Fuck off.
Well, we're supposed to judge you on this segment.
You're allowed to judge me.
And
I'm
very I'm good
still
at judging.
Right. Regardless, it's not going to happen because Hextall doesn't know what the West Coast teams are. So, other
but
than
damn.
The Kings, because he worked there.
Wait, didn't he spend a couple of years? Yeah, I was going to say, he spent
He doesn't
years
care about them,
Oh, my gosh,
though.
Drew.
Listen.
You're talking yourself into a corner.
Listen, and then with the rest of the picks, he'll
you're getting
probably...
nervous.
Now, shut up. He'll probably go, like, if he's got the center, he'll probably go after, like, wingers in the second and third round. Or
they
do
have a lot of picks. They have a lot
they have
of,
a lot of
round
picks.
Picks. I don't know how many you traded away at this point, but.
That's not
I also don't care about the late
round. We don't have a
third.
I could keep track of it.
It'll
years,
be like
but...
defenseman for the late round.
Our prospect pool is so stacked that I just
yeah,
don't
that's
care
what,
about
that's,
the
draft.
Like.
That's
like go out, get good players in the draft. That's great. I'll hear about them after you draft them.
Yeah, we're at the point now where, like, are all the guys we know of in the prospect pool should be making a team. Some, not all of them, but, like, guys from that pool will start making the team. And the guys they draft now are really going to be guys that replace veterans that are on the team now in a few years when we have to repay, when they have to get re-signed and we can't afford them. We let them
plus walk. We have Sam Morin. Now, I still agree with the Felipe Myers because we got Sam Morin, and he's a better defenseman than Felipe Myers is.
Yeah, but I don't think he's ever played.
He's fine.
I've never seen Phil Myers play, but from what I've heard, he is going to be a top four defenseman.
How old is Morin at this point?
He's like 23. He will be 23 this year.
And he's not going to play on the team next year because he's coming off a major injury. He's going to miss half the season.
You're not expecting him to play this season.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. So that means he's the most realistic time frame for him to make the team would be the start of two seasons from now. At that point, he's going to be 24.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
It doesn't leave a lot of room for error for him.
He doesn't. We're talking about this year. Forget about when he's coming back.
I think, because
here's the thing. By the time he is ready, if he's not ready, there will be people in free agency to go after.
I've come to terms with the fact that I'm never going to see Sam Morin play.
I haven't.
And it's all Dave Hackstall's fault because he should have played this year. But
yeah. Anyways,
I want to revisit the free agency thing though, just because.
Oh, Drew.
I don't think.
I'm not done.
Yeah, I don't think Drew's done.
I still got the resign.
Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Right.
It's gonna be quick because it's just quick facts and numbers. Hurdle, 4 years, $4 million. Hag, 3 years, $2.5 million. I think that's fair for him. Sam Morin, I have him at 2.25. Lion, 3 and 1.75. Lear, 2 for $1 million each. And then I keep going back and forth on this one. Stolarz. I have a 3 for $1.25.
You could probably get him like on a two way again.
But I don't know if we'll keep him because we'll have Lion, and if we're probably not going to trade Neuwirth, we'll have the
waiver. Is he an RFA?
Yeah, he's an RFA. But the thing is, the Flyers have so many goalies at this point. It's like, right,
and you already have Sandstrom and Carter Hart, and Carter Hart's going to be playing in the Phantoms.
And Lion, and you have Elliot and Neuwirth on the big club. So
unless, we trade up and trade Neuwirth.
Oh, wait, yeah, in this scenario, Neuwirth is gone.
Right, and this, that's why I'm still...
You have Moose.
You have Moose and Lion.
I just hate his nickname.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, the RFAs, at this point, I'm signing every RFA except for Mrazek. He's gone. Fuck him. UFAs, he's already said he's not getting Reed, Manning, or Duya back, which we're fine with. And then the other one was Filppula, and I don't want to resign him. And then I think the other signing that we have before the free agency is whoever our first-round draft pick. In my book, it's Foligno, whoever it may be, to an entry level. Because I think... the guys that we could get, even if we pick at 14 and don't trade it away, I think they could have a possibility of playing professional hockey instead of juniors. And then in terms of free agency, I don't really have anybody to specifically target because we're not going to have a ton of cap. As it stands with all my signings without the cap raise, we're at $5.5 million, basically. So I think what he would do is he would go after fringe AHL guy, like guys who – basically are there in case somebody gets hurt.
So Dale Weiss.
Who we already have. Essentially. but there's a couple guys here that I'm just looking at. Jay Beagle, Antoine Vermette.
I can definitely see him going after those types of guys.
Yeah.
Not that I want to.
Right. Yeah,
but
not,
I can see him going after
but that's what he would do.
Is Vermette fast? I forget.
He used to be. He's not anymore.
Was he like 55 at this point?
He's 35,
The last time I heard about him, he got traded from Arizona to Chicago, won a cup, and then got re-signed with Arizona.
He went right back to Arizona.
Traded from Chicago to Arizona every year.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really a ton of wingers that we would go after around that. Jimmy Hayes, Jordan Tutu. I'm just thinking of like guys that he would go after that are like probably not going to play unless somebody gets hurt. So
he was real adamant to get a center, so we'll probably see that.
We'll probably see a center like that. Where that leaves us in terms of opening night roster, we have Drew, Couturier, Konechny in the top line. That would give me Simmons, Patrick, and Voracek for the second line. Lindblom, Hurdle, Raffle. Dale Weiss, Yuri Lehterr, Scott Lawton. I hate it, but that's the truth. And then defense, Ghost and Provy, Sanheim or Hag and McDonald, and Sanheim or Hag and Gudas. And then Elliott and Lyon as our goalies.
You don't want to bring back Manning?
I'm kidding. Yeah, don't answer that.
I think we have to kick Devin out of the podcast for that comment. That was just terrible. So, okay, you guys have expressed some displeasure with the way I would do it.
I just don't think that you can rely on free agency as a, like, this is how I'm going to build my team. You want to get better guys from free agency, and that's when you're going for a contending team and players know you're a contending team and you can pay them. But I feel like you'll end up overpaying if, like, building through the draft, I think, is the most logical way to do things. And I think, and I want to revisit this in by the end of the season, this upcoming season, if Philip Myers plays in the NHL.
Oh yeah,
Philip Myers.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely gonna make you eat some crow.
Listen, hang on. Yeah,
I just want to say that I don't know. I feel like I'm not a big like Thomas Hertl guy, so that's why I didn't really like that trade. And
fair.
I'm a big Philip Myers guy, so that's why I didn't like the first trade. So I mean, that's going to shape my opinion on those moves, really.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I don't mind Tomas Hertl so much, but I'm definitely, from what I hear, Philip Myers, top four NHL defenseman. I don't know if he plays a top four role this year in the NHL because of how patient Hextall is and how Hextall likes to bury rookies, but I think he at some point gets NHL time, and then we can revisit in 2 years if he's playing in a top four role.
Yeah.
Then we can kind of see from there.
I mean,
but I think that's what the organization expects from him in a couple years, is the top four role.
The thing about armchair GMs is nobody's ever going to agree with you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That is okay, because it's my opinion. It's how I would do it. It's how I would, if I was in Hextall's shoes, that's how I would go after it. There is one other guy, I'll let you know, that I was looking at that I feel like would be just too much and would probably cost the Simmons, who's an RFA this year, is Dylan Larkin.
Ooh.
The problem with
we're not getting him.
No, exactly. Yeah. That's. I looked at him and I was like, "It's gonna."
Ooh, you could get him in a trade though, because Detroit sucks.
That's what I'm. That's what I was gonna do.
I do like Dylan Larkin.
But Dylan Larkin would take both first round picks.
I would do that.
It would take a lot to get him. It would be tough. And plus, Detroit already has two first round picks. They have the.
Yeah. Now they can have four.
Yeah,
they have the 30th and the 6th, right? Yeah, the 6th. Something but they good. Also have
now
they have two second round picks already, three third round picks, a fourth, 2 6ths, and a 7th.
You can never have too many first round picks. Right. Give them both of ours. Get Dylan Larkin.
So fast. Boom. Flyers would love the speed. It'd be great. You should have done that with the armchair GM instead of doing that stupid Thomas Hertl trade.
Hang on. This is my thing. You want to do it? Do it next time. Although next time is probably going to be. After
draft, yeah, that's
free agency. Break it down
after free agency, probably. We'll go back and we'll see how close I was. Not even close. I can already tell you that.
Hextall does nothing.
Hextall probably will do nothing.
I'd rather have him do nothing than
what Drew did.
Then
wow,
yeah.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, Drew. I'm
wow,
sorry.
Damn, that hit me.
Put it nicely.
That hit me hard.
I love you, Drew. I love you.
I'm feeling the hate. Honestly, and it hurts.
Who knows, Drew? If the Flyers end up with Tomas Hertl after the draft, I'll buy you Burger King.
That would be amazing. Honestly, it's probably worth it. Also, maybe we can call like some NHL teams and be like, "Listen, look when this podcast came out," and then maybe I can have a GM spot. You'll never know.
You're just wrong.
I mean, you'd be better than Dorian. You'd be better than Dorian and Chiarelli.
This is true. This is true. At least it's not one-for-one trades.
Yeah.
One-for-one trades are interesting. Although, that one-for-one trade that Montreal made was not terrible. Max Domi for Galchenyuk is not terrible.
All right, we're not getting into that.
They have the same amount of points per game, and Domi is younger. It's not a bad trade for Montreal. Whatever.
Next podcast.
Yeah,
sure.
Next
you can't drop, you can't drop hot takes like that when we're wrapping up.
So I just made an email address, guys, for the podcast. So tell us what you think about my armchair GM. Tell us what you think the Flyers will do. It's at,
that's opening up a lot of stuff.
Chris. Oh, I know. It's at wizwithhockey@gmail.com. Wizwithhockey@gmail.com. So send us some emails. Keep it tame. I know there's some people out there who are going to mess with me, and that's okay. That is okay. But yeah, tell us what you think. What you think of the armchair GM, what you think the Flyers will do in the offseason, how do you think Hextall will do? Anything else you guys want to add to the offseason coming up?
Jordan, when you send an email to Drew, please don't lit up.
Wow.
Go Birds.
Go Birds. yeah, it'll be a good time. This offseason is going to be interesting. We'll see you sometime in later July. Sometime around there, right after like 2 weeks, 3 weeks into free agency, see how that works out. So, as always, we've been WizWit Hockey Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wiz_Wit_Hockey. You can follow Devin at DevinS93. You can follow Kush at FlyWalker1975. And you can follow me at TheBigDrew92. We've been WizWit Hockey Podcast. Thank you for listening. You all have a wonderful day.
See ya.
Peace.